Well, here we go. Last week we started studying meditating in God's Word, and I want to continue with that. One of the things that we learned is that meditating from a biblical point of view is not just focusing your mind on your breathing or on a mantra or something like that, but it's really all about speaking God's Word to yourself, okay? Like God told Joshua to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Now, if meditating is speaking, it would have to be primarily speaking to yourself, because you don't always have somebody else to speak to all day and all night. Most of the time we're by ourselves and doing work and things like that, but we can speak to ourselves. And that's really the key to the whole thing. Now, it's not just speaking to yourself, but it's speaking to yourself according to the will of God, according to the Word of God. Remember, the greatest secret in the world today is that the Bible really is the Word and will of God. It's not a secret to us, but it is to a lot of people. So let's continue on with this. We're going to go to Psalm 35 is the next place that I'd like to go to. We've been tracking one of the Hebrew words that's translated meditate, and it's the Hebrew word haggah, and we'll see it in Psalm 35, verse 28. And in this verse, it's translated speak. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. So this word haggah that's translated speak in this verse, in a number of other verses, is translated with the word meditate. From the context here, you can see that it is talking to yourself, because it's all the day long. So if someone were listening, they would hear you speaking about God's Word. But for much of the time when you're all by yourself, you're still speaking of God's righteousness and of God's praise. Those are some of the things that we would speak about when we're meditating upon God. Okay? So one thing we learned from this verse is that my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness. The person decides to do this. It's a deliberate decision, okay? To speak about God all day long requires an effort to do so. Now, the more you do it, the more it becomes a habit, and things that are habitual are a lot easier to do. For someone who's never done this, it would take a little bit of effort, right? To speak about God's righteousness and praise all the day long. But it can be done. It can be done. Now, in Psalm 37, we see this word again. And in verse 30, it is again translated speaketh. And it says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. So this meditating, again, always involves speaking. It's not just a silence of mind, but it's an activity of the mind where you're speaking to yourself. And in this verse, what are you speaking? You're speaking wisdom. Well, what's wisdom? Wisdom is what to do. What to do according to the will of God. So the Word of God does give a lot of wisdom. We also have manifestations of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the revelation manifestations. But the wisdom is always what to do. And it's always what to do according to God's will. It's not just figuring out the best course of action based on all the facts that you have. That would be more intelligence or a person devising their own way. But if the mouth of the righteous is going to speak of wisdom, he's going to be talking to himself about what he knows God wants him to do, okay? And his tongue talketh of judgment, that's justice, making right decisions according to the will of God. And that's something to be talking about constantly. Now, the next verse doesn't have the word for meditate in it, but look at what it says. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So let me ask you a question. How is the law of his God going to get in his heart? He's going to have to take time to read it, to study it, and to commit some of it, at least, to memory, okay? Memorizing scriptures is very key to the whole idea of meditating, because you want to make sure that your meditation, what you're speaking to yourself concerning God, is accurate. It's accurate information. It's not just random thoughts about God, but it's God's thoughts expressed in words that you repeat to yourself. You see? Let's go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 in verse 6. We have the word Hagah, the Hebrew word Hagah, in this verse translated, meditate. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The night watches, in the times of the Bible, they didn't think of the hours of the night as like 60-minute intervals. They had the daylight hours divided into 12 segments, not always 60 minutes necessarily, but in the summertime, the hours would be longer. There would still be 12 of them, but they would be longer hours. In the wintertime, the hours would be shorter. But the night that they had different watches of the night, and depending on the time of history, whether it was under Roman rule or you know, the time of Israel, there were either three or four watches of the night. And they would always have someone guarding the city. And they would guard it for a certain length of time, and then somebody else would take over for them, and then somebody else would take over for them. So they'd have like three shifts, and they would call them the watches of the night. So in Psalm 63:6, it starts with the word when, so we should back up a little bit to get the context. So let's start with verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. So to meditate on God, one of the things that makes it great is that it's an enjoyable activity. You're thinking about the good things of God. You're not speaking to yourself of, oh, God must be angry with me, or God must be mad at me, or I did this wrong, or I did that wrong. But you think of how did God help you that day, right? Verse 7, because thou hast been my help. That's why I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And it's with joyful lips. You're praising God with joyful lips. You're thinking about how great God is. What has God done for you? And that just takes a matter of recognizing it, because God's always doing stuff for us. Are you recognizing them as coming from God? When you have good success, when something good happens, or you just have a day when nothing bad happens. You know, you ate food today. Who provided that for you? It's God that supplies all your need, right? So give him credit for it. Instead of taking all the credit for yourself or giving credit to somebody else, give the credit to God. And the more you're thankful to God for what he's done, recognizing those things, it just comes out of your mouth. I just love to talk about how thankful I am to God. And I think of all the little categories of life that God's been so good to me. And I tell him, thank you. Or I talk to myself about, wow, God did this for me. God has blessed me in this area. My beautiful wife, my nice, cozy, warm home that I have to live, the food that I have to eat, the clothes I have to wear, the people that I know that are such a blessing to my life. You know, I can go on and on and on, and I do. And it doesn't bore anybody else, because it's just me and God, you know. So this is the essence of meditating, praising God with joyful lips, remembering the things that he's done, talking about the great things of God. Let's look at Psalm 71, verse 24. 71:24. It says, my tongue also shall talk, and that's the word hagah, meditate. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. So David wrote a lot of these psalms, and he had a lot of enemies. But one of the things that we'll see in looking at these verses about meditation is that regardless of what people were trying to do to him and how they mistreated him and would speak badly of him, that he would have his mind on God and the things of God would be on his lips. Let me back up a little to get more of a context here. It says in verse 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. So even though I've seen a lot of troubles in my life, like we heard in manifestations today, that there'll be a lot of stumbling blocks in your way just because of the world that we live in. You know, and the devil, the adversary, he often targets believers to try to trip them up. And of course, you just have other people who have their own will and they're doing their own thing. And sometimes we get in each other's way. So there's a lot of things that can happen in this life, but God's the one that picks us up. Verse 21 says, "Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery," an article, vessel, implement, utensil, a skin bottle, a harp, lute, guitar, or musical instrument. So I'm going to praise you with a musical instrument. I'll be strumming along and singing your praises. "Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with a harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed." See, he's remembering something God's done for him, redeeming his soul. "My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt." So when you're meditating on God, that can be along with music. You can be singing a song to yourself that talks about how great God is. We know a lot of them. "How great thou art," you know, "God, a great, big, wonderful God." There's so many of them. So meditating and singing go hand in hand, okay? A lot of times when I don't have anything I have to think about, I just have a song going in my head. It's almost on an endless loop until something else reminds me of another song. Then I'm singing that one for a while. So let's look at Psalm 77. So many of these verses about meditating are in Psalms, which are the words of God set to music. So 77 in verse 12 says, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings." Now there's an also here, so it does go with what it says before. Verse 11 says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." So to remember the works of the Lord, still there's an intentional effort to think, okay, what has God done? And you can think of what God has done in your life, in the life of other people that you know. But to remember the wonders of old, that's going to come from the written word of God, right? Things that God did before you were born, you're going to find those recorded in the scriptures. So part of our meditation has to do with, okay, thinking about the scriptures that you know that talk about the wonderful works of God, in addition to the things that God has done for you personally, which are not written down in the book, but they're written in your heart and mind. But then you want to get the things that are written in the book of God, in the word of God, you want to get those inside you by reading it, studying it, committing it to memory. Then in verse 12, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." Oh, you know what? The word talk here in verse 12 is another Hebrew word that's often translated meditate. And it's the Hebrew word siach. And here's the definitions of this word. To put forth, meditate, muse, ponder. Commune means to talk, converse, speak, complain, ponder, or sing, okay? It is translated complain once in the book of Job. To muse, meditate upon, study, ponder, just turn it over in your mind. To talk, sing, or speak, and that can be certainly out loud as well as internally to yourself, but also to meditate, consider, put forth thoughts, okay? Where you take what you've learned about God and you put them in your words. So that's siach. And we'll look at a few places where we see this word siach. There is one in Psalm 119, verse 23. Let's go to Psalm 119 and verse 23. Okay, it says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." So this is interesting. So here's, assuming that David wrote the psalm, here's David, and there are princes, people with power and authority, have their own armies and things like that. They can have other people do their will, okay? Princes did sit and speak against me. When it says they sat, that would indicate they're sitting in judgment against him. And they speak against me, and there's more than one doing this. So they're discussing amongst each other things against the writer of the psalm. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. He refers to himself as God's servant. Okay? He may be a king himself, but he's considering himself God's servant. All the great men of God in the Old Testament always referred to themselves when they spoke to God as thy servant. Speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, they considered themselves servants of God. So even when others are plotting against me and talking about what they're going to do against me, I'm not thinking what to do against them or how to block them or how to dodge them or how to run and hide. I'm meditating in God's statutes. Okay, what does God want me to do? Statutes, their ordinances, limit. So a statute would not only be what to do, but what not to do. How far you can go limiting your action. And in a situation where David was under that kind of pressure, having princes conspire against him, he is talking to himself about what's the will of God for me to do. Okay? What does God want me to do? And what are the things that God wants me not to do? The next verse says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You know? He wasn't so bummed out and depressed because people in power were plotting against him. The words of God were his delight and his counselors, because when you know the word of God, you know what to do. The word gives you guidance. The word gives you instruction. So you're not at a loss wondering, okay, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Well, the word of God tells you what to do, okay? So stay calm. Think about God. Talk to yourself, not about what everybody's doing against you, but talk to yourself about what is the will of God for me. Let's go to Psalm 143 and verse 5. It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. So the word meditate is the word haga, to mutter, to speak to yourself, usually under your breath. And then the word muse is the word siach, to put forth, to meditate, muse, ponder. You know, so you have both of these words in the same verse. They didn't translate them both meditate, because they, even though they're synonyms, the translators of the King James Bible like to use a lot of English synonyms, and not necessarily the same word repeated all the time as a matter of style. So he says, I remember the days of old. So he brings it to back. The days of old, the things that are written in the Word of God that happened aforetime, that are written for the learning, right? He learned those things, and he remembered those things. And he meditated, would talk to himself about God's works, and muse, ponder on the work of thy hands. They're parallel phrases. They mean the same thing. Meditate on all thy works, muse on the work of thy hand. You see that? Sometimes in Psalms as well, in Proverbs sometimes too, but many times in Psalms, you'll have two phrases, one after the other, that say the same thing using different words. And it just gives a little more depth and also emphasis to that. The verse before this says, well, let's go into, let's start in the beginning. It's a Psalm of David. It says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, talking about himself, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. He said, your standards are so high, just judge me in a way that I can handle this. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. So again, he's being hunted down by his enemy. I'm not sure at what point in David's life this is referring to, but we know at one point King Saul was hunting him down. At another point, his own son Absalom had declared war against his own father. And he had others. I think one of the sons of Goliath was trying to get vengeance on his father and was going after him. So he had a lot to deal with as far as enemies go. So for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. That's a pretty dire straits that he was in mentally, and because of the things that were actually happening to him. But then he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. He could look back into the scriptures and say, okay, you know, Abraham was in a tough spot here and God helped him. Moses was in a tough spot and God helped him. You can read about the judges, and even when the people of Israel turned against God and got into trouble, that God rescued them and God did so many great things for them. And you can think about that. And it's the same God who did those things then that is with me right now. Okay? I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, like as if I were in the desert. Then you have the word Selah. And the word Selah means it's a pause. So in the music, it would be a pause. But mentally, it would be a pause to reflect about it, to think about this. Okay? Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust, and God help me make it through the night. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. So it's a request for God's wisdom and guidance in the situation that he's in. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. And this is wonderful. And that desperate situation that he was in, he wasn't telling God what to do for him necessarily, other than help me. He wasn't trying to direct God. Say, God, I want you to take that guy and make him do this to that person, or make him stop what he's doing. It's teach me to do thy will. And so many times the answer to a prayer for help from God comes with not just God doing something independently to make the bad things stop, but it's telling you what to do, so that you can walk in wisdom and be delivered out of the situation, right? So he said, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You tell me what to do, God. My ears are wide open. I'll be happy to do whatever you tell me. That's a good meditation on the things God has done, what he's able to do, how powerful he is, how wise he is, and then a prayer for God's guidance. So we're in Psalm 143 here, and we had both the words Haggah and Siach here, right? In verse 5, meditate is Haggah, and the word muse is Siach. The two go hand in hand. They're very, very close in their meaning. Let's go to Proverbs 6. We spent a lot of time in the book of Psalms, but let me just go to Proverbs quick. Because this word siach appears, and it's translated talk, and it's in verse 22, but I want to start in verse 20, okay? Proverbs 6, verse 20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother, because a young man or a young woman would learn the word of God from the parents, the mother and the father that are believers, okay? So keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother, because both mom and dad should be speaking the word of God to their kids. That's how they're going to learn. And then it says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. And this is, of course, a figure of speech, but the meaning of the figure of speech would mean to commit it to memory. Okay? The things that you're taught, commit to your memory, like you're tying them around your heart. Tying them around your neck, where it's right there. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Well, what's going to lead thee? The word of God that you learned from your parents or whoever taught you the word of God. If your parents weren't believers and didn't teach you the word, then, well, somebody did. So the things that you were taught that you know are true according to the word of God, you know, bind them about your heart, tie them about your neck means commit them to memory. And when you go, it shall lead you. Okay? When you're going through this life, the word that you've committed to memory will lead you. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. The wisdom of the word of God will guard you. The words from God, they will help you to be able to sleep at night. They'll help you to control your mind so you're not freaking out about everything. Okay? A person should be able to quiet their own mind. And the word of God helps you to do that. It gives you the truth. It gives you information that is true and stable. It settles you. Okay? And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Okay? When you get up in the morning, the word of God will talk with you. Well, it'll only do that if you've committed it to your memory, right? If it's in there, and it has to be put in there. You have to do the binding about the heart. You have to be the one to tie the words about your neck, so to speak. You have to be the one to get it in there and make it stick. And it's going to be by effort, by reading, by studying, and by repetition, repeating it to yourself. That's how you learn and remember things. That's how you get the information and retain the information. There's another verse in Proverbs chapter 3. It doesn't use these words for meditate. But look at this in chapter 3, verse 3. I'll start in verse 1. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep thy commandments." To keep is to guard, to watch over. Okay? You can only keep the commandments of God if you commit them to your memory. You get them through your eyes, through your ears, into your head, repeat them until you can repeat it back without looking at the page. Okay? "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." The length of days and long life and peace doesn't come by you figuring out what to do with your life. Even though this might be what you're told to do by teachers outside the Word of God, they say, okay, you make your plans, you set your goals, and you know, start with the Word of God. If your goal is to do the will of God, everything is going to work in your life. If your goal is just, I want to be rich and famous, I want to make a lot of money, I want people to think I'm great, I want to impress people, that's not going to give you length of days, long life, and peace. It says those that will be rich are going to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But when your goal is just to do the will of God, whatever that may be, God is now going to make sure that you have the length of days and the long life and the peace. Okay? The things that he has told people to do in his word promote these things. Verse 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Okay? We saw that binding them about your neck in that other verse in chapter 6, and we have it here again, but with a little more specific instruction to write them upon the table of your heart. That has to do with memorization, word by word memorization. If you can only do a handful of verses, those verses that you memorize, they will help you. It's good to have a number of verses that cover different categories of life that you commit to memory. I don't know how many verses I've memorized, but I started with a set of 10 verses, memorized them so I could repeat them word for word, along with a scripture reference. Okay, like John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." John 10:10. So I would commit it to memory by repeating it to myself, first while I'm looking at it, and then when I'm not looking at it, and then look at it again to make sure I got it exactly right. If I made any mistake, I'd have to keep drilling myself until I had it down to perfection. Okay? I would also read that verse in its context so I know what it's talking about, look up any words I didn't understand. But through that process, I now have a verse that I can draw upon when it's needed. And I know where it is in the Bible because I memorize not only the words in the verse, but the scripture reference. So I've done that a number of times with verses that were given me, recommended verses to learn. I've also made it a practice through the years of when I come across a verse that really speaks to me or answers a question for me, and I want to remember what it says and where it is, I would just write it down on a, like, I'd take a 3x5 card and cut it in half so it would fit in my shirt pocket. And I would write it down word by word, make sure it's punctuated and everything's spelled correctly with the scripture reference. And I would just take it with me and have a little downtime. I'd look at it and commit it to memory and put it back and, you know, add to that collection. I would think of it as like putting money in the bank. You know, you might have money in a checking account that you spend all the time, but then you have a savings account that's always there for you to draw from when you need it. So every time I would memorize a verse, I would think, this is like putting money in the savings account. It's going to be there when I need it. And those verses speak to you. A situation comes up that a verse will come. Maybe there's a word in that verse or something like that, or something about your situation reminds you of that verse. It's right there. It gives you that help, that edification, that comfort when you need it. And that's something that you can meditate upon in the middle of the night without having to take out your Bible and a flashlight and look it up, because you have it committed to memory, you see? So let's look at another one. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 11. This is one of the verses I memorized, and a lot of us have, because it's about memorizing verses. Psalm 119, 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Okay, Psalm 119, 11. A lot of us have this verse memorized, because it's a verse about memorizing verses. So it's God's word. It's hidden in my heart. Who hid it in my heart? I did. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Not that I'm sin conscious all the time, but I want to hit the mark instead of missing the mark, right? I want to go through life getting it right, not stumbling and falling continually, repeatedly, making the same mistakes over and over again, or just going by trial and error. You know, the word of God will save you a lot of trial and error, because it will tell you the right thing to do right off the bat. You can get a lot farther if you do it God's way without just trying to figure out on your own. God does not give a person credit for figuring it out on his own, okay? People will. People will admire a person like Frank Sinatra, who did it his way. That was like the theme song of his life. I did it my way, and that inspired a lot of men say, yeah, I want to do it my way, you know. I want to show the world that I'm the smart one. Well, that doesn't impress God. God is more pleased with the person who is humble and meek toward him, who will listen to what he has to say and do it God's way, okay? Do it God's way. So it's thy word that I have hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Because you have a concern. You don't want to displease God. We want to please him. We don't want to just go our own way and try to get away with it. We want to actually do what's right before God. Now, this verse is in the middle of a section here. You notice that Psalm 119 has like the word Aleph in verse 1, and then Beth in verse 9, and Daleth. These are letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, this is like the ABCs. And Psalm 119 is what they call an acrostic psalm, where each section, like verses 1 through 8, all the words begin with a word that starts with the letter Aleph, which would be like A. Okay, and then the next section, 9 through 16, all the Hebrew words start with a Beth, or like the letter B. So it was written this way by God's design, but it would help a person, like, go through the alphabet, and they could remember 8 verses that begin with the letter A, another 8 verses that begin with the letter B, another verse with C, or, you know, but in the Hebrew, and it would just help them to learn these things. So the Beth section here, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Good question. How does a person make himself clean before God? And the answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And remember, this was written in the time where they were under the old covenant, under the law. All the people didn't necessarily have Holy Spirit, which, you know, sanctifies and cleanses us. But they did have the word of God. So the person's way, the way that he walks, his walk before God, would be clean if he would take heed according to thy word. Now, in our administration, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? and we're cleansed by being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That cleanses us. But so what about your walk before God? See, being born again, being saved, doesn't guarantee that what you do will necessarily be pleasing before God, does it? You are righteous before God. He has judged you as righteous. But the things that you do may or may not be. But what is going to help you hit the mark instead of missing the mark, walk before God in a way that is pleasing to him, it's still, for us, according to his word, right? When we act according to his word, we know we're doing what pleases him because he tells us ahead of time what is going to please him. So why not take that word and commit it to your way of thinking, commit it to memory, and walk that way, taking heed thereto according to thy word, at least making a good attempt. You might still fall down and need to be picked up, but at least your aim is to do the will of God. You're taking heed according to God's word. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. So this is not just an interruption in his day, right? It's not just a side issue. It's like, okay, oh, it's Sunday morning. I better, you know, think about God for an hour. No, it was his focus. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Okay? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, this is the way I want to go. For some people, they might accidentally wander into doing something that's according to the will of God. But we want to be like this person who seeks God with his whole heart and lives in God's commandment and doesn't want to wander one way or the other. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So intentionally committing the word to memory, and it takes work and it takes time, but boy, is it worth it. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So, okay, I have your written word, but teach me so I understand it. Teach me so I not only know what to do, but what's the heart behind it? Jesus Christ certainly did that. He not only knew the word of God accurately, but he knew the intention behind it. He knew God's heart, and he could teach that to people because God had taught him, right? Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And this is a request that God will honor. If you really want God to teach you and you ask him, he will. He will open up his word to you. If you never ask him, you know, you might even be presented with the same information, but you won't take it in if you don't have that desire to know. So if you've never done this, I would spend some time with God and say, God, teach me. I want to know your will. I want to really know how to walk with you. Verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Boy, that puts you right in harmony with God, doesn't it? You are doing exactly what God wants you to do when your lips are speaking his word. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. How are you going to get that? Well, by paying attention to what God has said, getting it in your head, in your heart, and then having that come out of your mouth. It's not by chance that what you say happens to coincide with what God says. It's an intentional effort. There's a building process. There's a laying the foundation. There's a building upon that foundation. There's a staying in that. And if you really are seeking God with your whole heart and asking for his help, you can do this. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Meaning the word of God was of more value to him than having a lot of money. Now, David did accumulate a lot of wealth. He put that wealth towards the building of the temple, which would happen after he died, when Solomon, his son, would take over. Okay? He accumulated a lot of wealth that God provided for him, but the wealth was not his goal, you see? To do the will of God was his goal. God provided that wealth to enable him to do certain things that God would have him to do. So, to put God first and say, God is more important to me than making a lot of money, that doesn't mean you're going to have to live in poverty. You'll actually become richer with what God provides for you than trying to accumulate it yourself. And along with the wealth comes the long life and the peace that you wouldn't otherwise have. So I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He was just so happy to know this is the way God wants me to walk. This is my heart's desire. Verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts. That word meditate is siach, to muse, to ponder, that other word that we looked at. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. because I want to intentionally make my ways your ways, God. I want to look at your word, see the way you want me to walk, and that's the way I want to walk. And I'm going to do that by meditating in your precepts. I'm going to repeat it over and over myself so that I can understand it, so I know how to apply it, so it's living and real to me. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Delight myself. It's a pleasure. It's not a burden. It's not a chore. It's a pleasure to think about the word of God. I will not forget thy word. Why? Because I'm going to remember it. I'm going to repeat it over to myself until I've got it down. I will not forget thy word. And when the situations of life come up where there might be a temptation to go that way or that way instead of the right way according to God, knowing the will of God, seeing, I'm going to have my eyes open. I'm not going to be deceived, and I'm not going to be very easily taken off course because I delight myself in God's statutes, and I will not forget thy word because I will intentionally remember it. Well, that's all the time we have tonight. So we'll continue in this more next week, and I want to look at not only the word meditate, but the word meditation as a noun, and I want to look at the New Testament writings to see what we can learn from there. The word meditate is not used very much in the New Testament, but the concept that we learn about meditating in God's Word from the Old Testament verses, we'll see those concepts in the New Testament, and that will help us as well. Because when you study something like this, you want to look at the words that are translated in that way, but you also want to look at the ideas and the things that are included with that concept and look at those in other places in the Word of God. See? So, God bless everybody.